May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Mark 9. Please pray with me. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. We ever pray that as your word is taught and proclaimed, it would penetrate our minds, our hearts, to give us repentance and faith, understanding, knowledge. Grant us all the Holy Spirit to gladly hear and to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have any questions? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand. Do you have any questions? The only foolish question is the one you don't ask, right? We've all heard a teacher or a preacher say to their students, have any questions? Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Ask your questions. The only foolish one is the one you don't ask, so ask your questions. In the gospel lesson today, we are encouraged, I think, we are taught to ask questions. Gain understanding. Seek the will of God, the word of God. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door shall be opened. Ask your questions. Sadly, in the gospel, the disciples are afraid to ask questions. Jesus teaches them very plainly he's going to go die and rise the third day, he'll rise on the third day, very clear and simple. And the disciples don't understand, and we're afraid to ask him. Then we learn that they're busy arguing about who's the greatest. First Lutheran, be different. Don't be like the disciples in this particular text. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask and you will find. Knock, the door will be open. Seek the will of God. Seek knowledge. Ask Pastor Robert's like questions. Go to Bible class. Read your catechism. As I put myself in the shoes of the disciples here in Mark 9, I think that there'd be three questions I might ask of Jesus. He's teaching them. They're his chosen 12. There are three questions I might ask him. And these would be great opportunities for Bible class between Jesus and his disciples. First of all, there'd be a question about the Son of Man. Secondly, a question about salvation. And thirdly, a question about service. And may these be three questions we ever ask ourselves and go to God's Word to get the answers. First of all, they could have asked about the Son of Man. Been a very good Bible class between Jesus and his 12 disciples. Jesus says in the text, the Son of Man is going to be delivered. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise. And the disciples could ask, Jesus, you always refer to yourself as the Son of Man. It is the most common title that Jesus calls himself in the four Gospels. 81 times in the four Gospels, about 20 times per Gospel, he calls himself the Son of Man. And they could have asked him if they didn't understand, Jesus, why do you call yourself the Son of Man? What's it mean? Teach us. Who are you, Jesus? How does it apply to you? But they're too afraid. They'd rather argue about how great they are, wouldn't they? The title Son of Man comes from Daniel chapter 7 back in the Old Testament. And there Daniel sees the Son of Man, who's the Son of God, who is Jesus. And we read there that he comes from the clouds. He's a man who comes from the clouds. And he stands before the Father. And then he becomes ruler over all the nations. Every knee bows to him. And the disciples are going to ask, Jesus, are you that Son of Man? The Lord would say, yes, I am the one from the clouds. I'm the one that can stand before the Father. I'm your mediator. You can't stand before the Father. You're a sinner. He'll condemn you. But I can stand for you. I'm your substitute. I'm your mediator. I will stand for you and I will rule the whole world. Could have been a great lesson on the identity of Jesus. But they're too afraid to ask. First Luther, never be afraid to ask questions about the identity of Jesus. There's no foolish question when you come to the identity of Jesus. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, find. Knock, it'll be opened. If you have a question about who Jesus is, about the title Son of Man or Son of God, anything about Jesus, ask your pastor if you don't know. Again, go to your catechism, go to Bible class. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm not going to ask, I don't know. Know who Jesus is. But he is the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the King of kings, and yet he's the servant of all. He's the light of the world, the bread of life, the resurrection of life. He's all that, God and man, who's come to deliver us. You know, it's on the internet the other day, and there's a headline there that struck me. The headline said, "One Endless Funeral." Oh, what's this headline about? One Endless Funeral. And the article talked about how we've lost a lot of celebrities this summer. As if it's been one endless funeral of celebrities. And you know some of these. Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett. Ed McMahon died. Walter Cronkite. Ted Kennedy. And now Patrick Swayze. And there's others I haven't listed here. One endless funeral. And how sad we all these celebrities have died. Well, may we know that Jesus is not some celebrity who died 2,000 years ago. Poor Jesus, he's dead and gone, a man of history. He is the Son of Man from the clouds. He is God himself, Lord of lords, King of kings, who became a man and died and rose for our salvation. He's not a celebrity, he's Savior. So the identity of Jesus, ask questions if you don't know. Maybe you don't know everybody in church. That's okay. We get new people. It's wonderful to have all of you here. Maybe we don't know each other. You can ask the person who they are, too, First Lutheran members. Welcome. Good to have you here, rather than just, who are they? Go ask that, too. You have time to do that, to get to know each other as a family. Don't take your time in knowing Jesus. It's urgent. It's heaven and hell. It's life and death. Make sure you and your kids know who Jesus is. Secondly, the disciples could have asked about salvation. How can I be saved? Who is the Son? How can I be saved? Good questions to ask. The highlight of the text as mentioned is when Jesus, while he's teaching, he says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered. They will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. The disciples, if there's any questions they have, they should ask questions about this. But they don't understand, and so they're afraid. And they argue about who's the greatest. Above all, they should ask questions about their salvation. Jesus, you're going to be killed? You're going to be delivered into the hands of sinners? And you're going to rise again on the third day? What does this mean? That's a good Lutheran question. It's all over in your catechism. What does this mean? How does it fit into the plan of salvation, Jesus? We thought you were going to conquer Rome. We thought it was going to be easy. Get an army together, go kill a Caesar Augustus and all the Roman soldiers and start the new kingdom of God here on earth, here in Jerusalem. A new King David, a new King Solomon. But no, you're going to die? Be killed? How's it fit? And Christ could have given a wonderful little Bible study. Well, you got to realize, disciples, I came not to destroy all the Romans. I came to defeat sin, death, the devil, hell, worse enemies than any Romans could ever be. And so that requires my own death and my glorious resurrection. He could have quoted Old Testament scripture and had a great study. If only they would ask. On the cover of Reader's Digest, there was a headline. I did some reading this week, and we get the Reader's Digest. This is a real, very good little magazine, and some of you may get it. And on the headline of the Reader's Digest, it says, How to Survive Anything. How to survive anything. And then in the book, it mentions how to survive a robbery, how to survive a traffic jam. I need that one. How to survive an insane dog. How you survive two cats I don't know that you don't like. How to survive a nasty boss. Pastor Roberts may want to read that one, huh? Just kidding. How to survive bad credit. How to survive a scary plane ride. How to survive all these things. But it doesn't mention the most important question. How to survive death. How to survive judgment day when you stand before God as a sinner and he's holy. How are you going to survive that? How to survive the devil and the demons who are after us. No mention in Reader's Digest on how to survive any of that. But it's mentioned here in Mark 9 by Jesus and throughout the Bible. Jesus lays out the plan how to survive sin. And death, the devil, and all of hell. The Son of Man will be delivered. He will die and be killed, but on the third day he will rise. There's your plan of salvation. How do I survive sin? His name is Jesus. How do I survive death? His name is Jesus. How do I survive hell? His name is Jesus. How do I survive the devil? His name is Jesus. Notice Jesus does not lay any work upon us. It doesn't talk about how the Son of Man does this. Now, you've got to do this, 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 this. It's all the Son of Man. He does it all. Salvation. His death is resurrection. We are called just to believe it. Trust it. You have a question about the cross? Ask Pastor Roberts or I, or go to your catechism again. Come to Bible study. You have a question about the resurrection? Ask. You have a question about how you can be saved? Ask. You have a question about forgiveness for sins? Ask. You have a question about baptism, which now saves us? Ask it. Ask it. You have a question about communion? How's this work in salvation? Ask it. We're here to answer. God's Word will answer. Ask your questions. And then, finally, we should ask about service in the church. Ask about the Son. Who is He? Ask about your salvation. Never take that for granted, or never take it for granted for your kids that your kids just know it too. Ask, seek. Then ask, how can I serve every day you wake up as a Christian, baptized? How can I serve? Who can I help today? Who can I reach out to today? How can I be of service to others as Christ has served me? And Jesus teaches this lesson. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And then he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said, whoever receives one such child receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. We can be an arguing church, a fighting church. Let's argue about money. Let's argue about power. Let's argue about who's supposed to do what. And you better do it my way. We got a voters meeting today. We can do a lot of arguing there if we want to. Who's the greatest? Or we, in all humility, can be an asking church. How can I serve? How can I help? What can I do? And not just in the church. I mean, Pastor Roberts, ring our phones off this week with saying, Pastor, how can I help? How can I serve? What can I do in the church? What can I ring the school phone up. How can I serve and volunteer in the school? Don't make us twist your arm. Would you please do it, please? What kind of service is that where you got to have your arm twisted? Aren't we volunteers? Tennessee? We do it gladly. There's a cute story of a mother who was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, 5, and Ryan, 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake, I can wait. So Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Let the other guy be Jesus. Let the other guy serve. Let somebody else do it. Be a servant in your church. Even more important than that, though, is be a servant in your home. Serve your spouse. Serve your kids. Be a servant. Be a servant in your workplace. May you be known in your workplace that you are a servant. You will do anything for anybody. You are there to help. That's a great reputation to have, even if it causes a lot of extra work. That's a great reputation for a Christian. You're a servant, humble, gladly. And in your neighborhood, may you be known in your neighborhood as the one who serves. Go ask him or her. They'll do anything for you. Great reputation. May our church have that reputation. We're here to serve anybody, love anyone, forgive anyone. We're servants because Christ has served us. How can we not? Who here is great following the children's message? Get your hand up. You're all great. As little Jackson said, you're a child of God. You're baptized. You are great, First Lutheran. You're saints, redeemed, purified, washed, children of God. Who's number one? Don't say Florida. We're number one. All right, who's number one? We are. We're number one in the eyes of God, the apple of God's eye, His treasure possession. That's who we are in Christ by faith. We already have that status. We're saved and redeemed. We're great. We're number one. We're first. And therefore, because I'm already way up here, I'm God's child, I can be a servant on this earth. I have everything in Jesus. I can give away everything and sacrifice everything because I have everything in Christ. Forgiveness and glory and eternal life. Because I'm number one before God, I can be number 6 billion on this earth and be a servant of all the other 6 billion. We serve not because we have to, but because we want to. Gladly, joyfully, because our Savior gave His life for us. Don't be afraid to ask, First Lutheran. Ask your questions. Ask about the Son. Ask about salvation. Ask about serving your Lord. Amen.